When you played at UW, I was thinking, you know, obviously a high-level player. I mean, you got to experience senior day. And then, of course, yesterday for the Ducks, Lydia Giomi, Aaron Boley could not. And we know why, but I thought you and Ann hit on Boley yesterday, considering how she has altered her game year to year, kind of based on what the team and coaches needed. How special has she been during this great Duck run?
Well, I tell you, she is a phenomenal shooter, and she's one of the best in the history of the conference. She's just automatic, and the fact that she's 6'2" and she can keep her release point so high, and her release is so quick. She's one of the purest shooters that we've seen, and Oregon has had a lot of them, but automatic 40. I want you to just think about the fact that while guarded in games, she has made 43% of her attempts in her career. Wow. That's just incredible, especially when everybody wants to push her off the line and turn her into a dribbler and a driver. And that's how quick of a release she has. It's pretty special stuff. And this year, she doesn't have the consistency of, I think, the freshmen and the playmakers of, you know, her role has been very clear for the first 2 years of her career as a Duck. Hey, you find a way to get open on the perimeter and we'll hit you, and that's what we need to do. It hasn't been that easy this year, and she's had to adapt. But she's done a really nice job in the mid-range game. She's automatic when she gets the ball and there's any kind of space against the zone, the high post area. And, you know, Kelly Graves raves about the fact that she's just a good ball player. She shows up every day, works hard. She's pretty quiet. She's not that vocal leader, but she certainly leads by her example. She's really had a nice senior year, and I hope that it continues because, you know, she's a great shooter, one of the best.
You know, prior to the Oregon State game, all of a sudden we see Tahina Pau-Pau in a walking boot. You know, both Taylors, Mike Sell and Chavez, did what they could. But, you know, that's kind of Tahina's ball out there. Her quicks, the attention the defense has to pay. You know, the offense for Oregon looked kind of out of whack. I mean, her absence, how big of a factor do you think that played yesterday?
I do think it was a factor for sure. You just look at the first box score and the impact that she made. She had a career-high 22 points at Gill Coliseum. She was 4 of 5 from the three-point line. She had a huge impact on that game. And Tahina is the one player for the Ducks. They have all these different players that, like, say, Aaron Boley. Tahina Pau-Pau is the one player that you look at that really can probe the defense off the dribble, and she can get inside and create plays for other people and control it at that one. She's very good at it. I think she's the best on the Oregon roster at doing that. So it was a big loss, just the type of plays that you could generate against Oregon State without her in the lineup. So I think for her, it's really unfortunate. I hope this is a late scratch for her. We were not made aware of this until literally the starting lineups were put in.
Whoa.
Granted, this year we can't go to shoot-arounds anymore. We can't go to practice. There was only one game this week. So I don't know if she hurt her foot / ankle / lower leg, whatever the injury is. I don't know if it happened during practice this week. I don't know if it happened in shoot-around. I don't know if it was just precautionary. We haven't been given any information whatsoever. So, you know, that one was, I hope because of that it was something that just popped up that they wanted to, they already had the 4 seed locked and loaded for Vegas. And maybe they felt like rather than aggravating something that she did, that they were just going to be, you know, precautionary with it. And I sure hope she'll be ready to go on Thursday in the tournament.
Elise, on the other side, Oregon State, I mean, when you think about 10 weeks ago, the way they got smoked by Oregon, they lost 3 straight, they had to shut it down, they were sub-500. Now, lo and behold, they beat the Ducks, they beat UCLA, they won 5 of 6, and we know Scott Ruick's been to a Final Four. But, man, keeping this team together and improving, how impressed are you with the jobs he's doing right now?
Yeah, really impressed. And when we chatted with him in preparation for the Oregon game, he said that that might have been one of the most satisfying weekends that he's had in his career, going down to L.A. and playing 2 dominant performances after what they went through earlier this season. They were locked down for COVID issues for 29 days in between games. And they didn't play well early, and that wasn't a surprise. They lost their starting backcourt of a year ago with Mikayla Pivic and Destiny Slocum. So Aaliyah Goodman was the point guard trying to do it all. And then you had a talented but a freshman learning a really intricate system for Scott Ruick in Sasha Goforth. That's a big challenge to try to learn this system. And then the other thing that after those five games that they lost in a row, and then they had all the COVID issues in the middle of this, it was a real test, a mental test, a physical test of how bad do you want this. And they showed how bad they wanted it, and they've come out and they've played much better basketball. And the other addition to their roster that I think has really helped is Talia von Olhoffen, who should be a senior in high school but is averaging double figures in the first eight games of her career, and the Beavers are 6-2 since she joined the roster. And it's not all because of her, but she certainly has played a big role in this stretch for the Beavers and giving Aaliyah Goodman some rest. She can take over the ball handling duties, letting Aaliyah move over the two, or she can run off a bunch of screens and have a different look for the defense. And she's just nails from the three-point line. She's near 50% from three. She's very skilled.
Yeah, when she got green-lighted and showed up at that first practice, I remember she got like a hero's welcome from the players. It's kind of awesome as we continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a great moment. We continue with Elise Woodward of the Pac-12 Network and more. You mentioned Aaliyah Goodman, who was a really big recruiting get as an Oregon superstar in high school, and she's kind of graduated role player, all conference, now a tremendous defender, leading scorer. So beyond how she was kind of feeling it in that win, I mean, just she's been just so terrific for this program.
Yes, she has, and I think as an Oregonian and LaSalle High School, which is a smaller school, and she had the success there and won the state championship as a senior at Gill Coliseum, it's just a really cool story for the Oregon State fans, and it's cool to root for people that you've seen grow up in your own backyard, and she certainly is one of those. She understands the history of Oregon and Oregon State. She gets the rivalry. When I interviewed her after the game, and her smile was so, it's like it was hurting her cheeks. She was just like ecstatic. And any athlete that has those type of wins where she was such a big part of a upset win over her rival and the first time she'd ever won at Matthew Knight. And it just was a really cool moment for her. And she lit, it felt like she floated out of Matt Knight to go get to the locker room and celebrate with her teammates. It was really cool to see for that kid.
A few final thoughts for Elise Woodward. One general question about Oregon. You know, I said it all off season to think you were just going to lose Sabrina and Hebert and Sabali and even Minyon Moore from arguably the best team in the country and not miss a beat. I don't know how realistic it is, but as this team sits, we know they have talent. We know how well coached they are. What do you think they're capable of in the two coming tournaments?
Well, I tell you, they are extremely talented. There's no question. I think that they got a gut punch in that game against Arizona down in the desert. And they're a young team that's trying to figure out what their identity is. And I think they lost confidence. They don't look as confident to me as they did early in the season when they were rolling teams. But things came pretty easy to them. And you know, Kelly Graves he mentioned a comment to me that I agree with, and it's just something to remember. All of his freshmen were all Americans. They were all the player of the year in their state, the Gatorade player of the year. They all won the state championship. They're winners. They're talented. They got accolades. But they hadn't been through a lot of lose. Like, they hadn't got gut punched before. And you have to learn how to win at the D1 level, especially when everybody is gunning for you. Oregon had a huge target on their back. Stanford wanted to beat them. Oregon had won the title 3 years in a row. Stanford was gunning for them. Oregon State was gunning for them. All these teams were like, yep, that's a signature win when we can beat Oregon, even without Sabrina and Ruthie and Satu and Mignon and all that. But this year, I think they are still figuring things out. I know one thing. They can shoot lights out. They're never out of any game. Their defense is actually as good as most of the Kelly Graves teams are defensively. They're pretty solid on that end. And they've got length. They can go big. They can go smaller lineup. They've got a lot of different ways to beat you. So I know nobody wants to see them because everybody is scared to death at the moment when they snap their fingers and they click in and they get that aha moment.
I was thinking, when you started playing at UW, Tara Vandeveer was a coach making a name. You had Pat Summitt. Geno had just won national title at UConn. And I think last year we knew Stanford would be a beast this year. And now Tara is the winningest ever at the D1 level. So, you know, as somebody who's so wired into this league, what pops to mind when you think about what she's meant to this conference and the game in general?
I think that Tara is absolutely a part of, if not a huge reason, why the Pac-12 is the best conference in America for women's basketball, because she constantly just pushes the other people up. She's not one that competitors and opponents she pushes down, or if they're worse off, that makes me better. She really does. She helped. When Scott Ruitt got the job at Oregon State, she called him. When Kelly Graves got the job at Oregon, hey, call them. What can I do? How can I support? How can I help? And she backs it up. It's not just for her talk. A lot of people, when you are so competitive, and I'm one of them, like, I'm a competitor, I don't want to see my opponents do well, right? Like, that's, Tara is very competitive. But Tara also understands that when Oregon is better, the entire Pac-12 is better. When Oregon State, when UCLA, when she has risen, helped get all these programs to rise up near Stanford level, it challenges them. All of them have a better national reputation because of it, and it makes Stanford better. It you know, iron sharpens iron, and I have all of the respect in the world for her for doing this. I mean, she'd won multiple national championships while I was in high school, and she was highly revered, and if Stanford called, you answered and you went there. Like, that was, and I still think that's the case in 2021. If Stanford calls and says you can get into school and we want you to play, and you have Tara on the phone, that's a really hard thing to say no to.
That sounds like an impossible no. Lastly, also general, there's former Duck Sarah Goodrum was named the Milwaukee Brewer minor league hitting instructor. I always say progress in some of the traditional boys clubs is never a given. As someone who's succeeded and overcome some of the antiquated thinking, when you have Becky Hammon on an NBA bench or now Kim Ng, the GM of the Marlins, just how vital is all this, Elise, for young women to know that their list of aspirations now has a bigger ceiling?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And for some, I know a lot of people will, the naysayers will say, well, if they've never played the game, you know, Ng has never played baseball at the major league level, how is she going to be a general manager? But then you start looking around and you're like, well, that guy never played, and that guy never played, and that guy never played. And I mean, you go through the list of, I mean, just look at Scott Ruick never played college basketball. Is he a good coach? Yeah. Did he ever play women's college basketball? Obviously not. But he can coach the other gender. And if you take the equation out of just, are they smart? Are they qualified? Do they command respect? All of the things that you have to have in positions of leadership. I know one thing. Leaders are very rare. True leaders that command a room, that command respect of all age groups, their peers, those working underneath them. And when you find one, it's golden. Why would you eliminate half of the population base based on gender when you have so many outstanding women? And the other thing, I think, for college basketball on the men's side especially, so many of the players have great relationships where their mom is the dominating, you know, person in their life that's telling them what to do. Even as a recruiting aspect, isn't it odd that there's no females on college men's basketball? Because for recruiting and taking care of your son and making sure, don't you think that'd be something that moms and dads would like to have?
Sure.
In the program? I've always thought that was very odd, and I hope that that changes as well, because there's so many quality coaches and qualified women out there at all levels in all sports.
You know, by the way, piggybacking on what you said, I may be mistaken. I don't remember Theo Epstein's great baseball career, but he's
right.
Okay.
Folks, yeah, no, just go through it, and you'd be like, oh, wait a minute. They didn't play at the NBA level, or they didn't play. It is, especially as a GM, right? A lot of them. Like I said, if coaching were all about playing, then Michael Jordan would be the best coach ever, and Magic Johnson would have been awesome with the Lakers, but they weren't, and they're not, because it takes more than that to be a great coach. So,
well, what I always say is when it comes to Pac-12 women's hoops, we don't need Wikipedia. We got Woodward on Twitter. use @EliseMWoodward. Elise, I always enjoy your work. Much appreciate your time. Glad you and yours are doing well. And obviously, definitely look forward to catching up again down the road. And thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime. I was down. I heard that North Eugene is going to be torn down and rebuilt. I'm very excited to see that. So it hasn't happened yet, but I understand it's in the works for North Eugene High School to get rebuilt. So I'm excited. Maybe the next time I'm down there, they'll start opening that thing up.
Great. Go Highlanders. Thanks a lot, Elise. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one. Bye-bye.